Hello once again. I want to thank you for joining with us on our prayer meeting evening in Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. As we mentioned last week, it is our desire over the coming weeks just to take our psalm for the week and to study it together. And this week we come to the Psalm 56. The Psalm 56, I encourage you, if you have a Bible, even to open it at that portion and to follow along in the reading and then in also the time of study around God's precious word. Psalm 56, it is entitled to the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Regokim, Michtam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. The verse 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, and in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps, when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, and in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to each and to every one of our hearts again. I want to look at the psalm under the heading David's Darkest Hour. David's Darkest Hour. The darkest hour was a phrase which was coined by Winston Churchill to describe that point in World War II between the fall of France and the German invasion of Russia. When France fell, the British government had the great problem, first of all, of rescuing their men, the many hundreds of thousands of British Army forces which were there in France. They gathered together at the beach in Dunkirk. And they had that great problem. How are we going to get almost 300,000 men home from France? At the exact same time, of course, they were preparing a nation for the expected invasion by Germany. They believed that now that France had fallen, that Britain would be next on the Nazi Germany agenda. And Britain was that last nation standing at that time. All of France, Belgium, all of those different countries had been invaded and taken over. And Britain very much was in a deep and a dark place at that time. On top of that, Winston Churchill is the leader both of the government and of the nation. He didn't actually enjoy the support of his own people or his own party. His own government, which he led, was not for him. His own party was not for him. And so he was very much on his own for much of that time. Certainly it was a terrible time in Britain. It was, as Churchill coined it, the darkest hour. And for David and his life, this passage which we read brings us to his darkest hour. The time when David was loved and popular in his own country had come to an end. It was a distant memory, the time whenever he was the hero, whenever he was loved and revered of the people, he was respected by the king. That time was now over. Such was the current situation that he was in. He had actually left his own country and he had went to hide in Gath. Now Gath was the home of Israel's permanent enemy, the Philistines. And this psalm, it's penned the first time that David went to Gath. And you will find the details of that visit in 1 Samuel 21, the verses 10 to 15. The second time, of course, that he went to Gath, he would be accompanied by his men, his followers that he had gathered together. The second time that he went, he was accepted. He was welcomed to stay with the Philistines. You'll find the record of that in 1 Samuel 27 through to 1 Samuel 30. But that first visit was what was on David's mind when he sat down and penned this psalm. That first visit, all of the trials, all of the troubles, all of the hardship, the darkest hour that David found himself in, that is what we are reading tonight in Psalm 56. 3 points I want to bring out of this psalm as I break it up into three sections. I want you to see, firstly, in David's darkest hour, I want you to see the danger that David was in. The danger that David was in. You'll find that in the verses 1 through to 7. He begins the psalm with the words, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up." David certainly was in a perilous situation. He couldn't go home to his family. He couldn't go to his home town of Bethlehem. He couldn't go to his familiar surroundings because he was being hunted by Saul. He couldn't stay with his father. He couldn't stay at home with his wife. For it tells us in 1 Samuel 19, verse 11, that even in his own home with his wife, they had come to look for him. And he had had to flee even from his own home. He couldn't go to his friends either. His best friend, Jonathan, that was too dangerous as well. Jonathan had to meet him out in the field. He had to meet him there in a private, a secret location. And from there, they had said their goodbyes and David had to leave. He couldn't go to his own king. Of course, Saul was the one who was organizing and orchestrating the aggression against him. In 1 Samuel 21, it tells us as well that David couldn't even go to the house of the Lord. Whenever in 1 Samuel 21 he had went there, he had spent some time, he had been given the sword of Goliath and a piece of showbread, but yet Doeg the Edomite had turned and had reported him. And once again, David had to flee. David literally had nowhere that he could say was safe. So he went to Gath. You know, whether or not he took the phrase that your enemy's enemy is your friend to heart or not, but that's where David went. He went to Gath. There was no safety or peace to be found there either, though. 1 Samuel 21, in the verses 11 and 12, it tells us the servants of Achish, the king of Gath, said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? In the verse 12 of 1 Samuel 21, it says, David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. David realized that he was a marked man. He was in great danger. He was a marked man in Israel. He was also a marked man now in Gath. At any moment, his life could be ended. At any moment, he could be arrested and tortured. His life was now a daily gauntlet of danger. And we come in the Psalm 56, it tells us in the verse 1 that he's daily oppressed. The verse 2, it tells us that daily they would swallow me up. The verse 2 as well, it tells us the number that be against me, they be many that fight against me. In Israel, there was no safety, and now in Gath too, the danger had escalated. Everywhere he went, he was followed. Everywhere he went, he was recognized. He was pointed at, he was spoken about. Isn't this the slayer of the 10,000s? And no doubt there were those in Gath who would love to have killed him. No doubt there were those in Gath who would love to have taken revenge against him for the defeats that the Philistines had been inflicted with. The defeat of their great giant and champion Goliath. The defeat of the nation after that, and how David, along with the Israelite people, had went against them and had defeated them. Yes, David was in danger. David was in a great perilous condition. David was in a place of great trial, of great hardship. But as David was in this danger, and as we have looked at it together, two points have come to me. Firstly, I'm reminded through David that the Christian life is not an easy life. David was a child of God. David was a servant of the Lord. David had been earmarked for future service. He was already anointed, 1 Samuel 16, to be the next king of Israel. And yet David still had trials and troubles. David was still under continuous attack. That's a reality for every Christian. You can guarantee times of trial. You can guarantee times of hardship. You can guarantee times when the devil will attack you. Times maybe even whenever you're without friends and without family. Times when you won't feel in control of anything that's going on around you. You think of the words that are found in 2 Corinthians 6, the verses 4 to 6. It says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, times of hardship." John 16, the verse 33, it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Yes, child of God, the Christian life is not an easy life. Just because we are saved does not mean that suddenly everything is a bed of roses. We know that. But I want you to see, secondly, even through the life of David, it's not an easy life, but secondly, it is the best life. Everything that was going on in David's life, all of those hardships, all of those trials, the darkness of the time in which he was found, but yet there was one that he could turn to. There was one that he could cry out onto. And that's what he did. In the verse 1, it simply begins the psalm, "Be merciful unto me, O God." He has turned to the Lord. He didn't try and present his case to Saul. He didn't seek a court day with Saul that he could argue and present his defense and even go before the elders of Israel, and he hadn't went to Achish, king of Gath, either, as seeking his help and begging him for mercy. David went to the Lord. He went to the sovereign of heaven and of earth, and he begged God for mercy. You see, there was only one who made David safe. And child of God, there's only one who can make us as safe in our lives. That's Jehovah. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and the verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why then would we go to any other? Why then would we turn to any other person? Why then would we cry out for mercy to any other apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? It is Christ who watches over us. It is Christ who intercedes in our behalf, even in heaven. He presents our prayers faultless before his Father. Every trial, every hardship, we have a God to turn to, and we have a God to cry on to. Do you know that the Apostle Paul, the hard times in his life, he actually enjoyed them? Christians today, you know, if the day isn't sunny, everything isn't bright and rosy in their lives, some Christians become downhearted. Some Christians become greatly depressed. Some Christians even give up. And they start to question God as to why there are times of hardship upon them. But yet the Apostle Paul, he enjoyed them. He rejoiced in those times. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 in the verse and number 10, Paul writing there to the church in Corinth, he said these words, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, the previous verse, the verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, he had said this, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, child of God, we the blood-bought people of Christ, in all of our times of hardship, in all of our times of struggle, we ought to have those joys within us that we are able to look to our Savior, that we are able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are able to cry unto Him, and we're able to know that in all things, in every experience in life, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It's continuous. And His grace will always be sufficient. The danger that David was in. But then secondly, I want you to see the verses 8 and 9, the distress that David was in. The distress that David was in. The verse 8 of the chapter, it says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Certainly those days in David's life were difficult and dark days. They were days of great distress. David at this stage in his life, he was still a young man. A young man whose life up until recently had been relatively good. He had been anointed to be king. He had been loved by the people, treated like a hero. He had married a princess. But now, what a change. He was now being hounded. He was now being hunted throughout the kingdom. Only the Lord knew how many miles he had covered. Only the Lord knew how many different places he had laid his head down to sleep. Only the Lord knew how many tears that he had shed. Only the Lord knew, even there in Gath, how he had to act as if he was insane. And every single moment of every day, all of that stress that he felt even upon him, as every single step that he made, every noise that came out of his mouth, every action that he did there in Gath, it was being marked, it was being watched. But God knew it all. His family didn't know his distress. His wife didn't know his distress. His best friends didn't know his distress. No one knew how deep and how dark that time was in his life. No one knew how demoralizing and how distraught he was every single day. But God did. And in the midst of all of that distress, David can see the care and the compassion of his Savior towards him. David said those words, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Thou tellest my wanderings. Are they not in thy book?" David knows that the Lord is watching over him. David knows that the care and the compassion of his Savior is towards him. Just as the Lord was able to say to Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20 in the verse 5, "I have seen thy tears." Just as he was able to say of Ephraim in Jeremiah 31 in the verse 18, "I have heard Ephraim bemoaning itself." You see, child of God, we have a Savior who, it tells us in Hebrews 4 in the verse 15, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a Savior who, it tells us in John 11 in the verse 35, whenever he went to the grave of Lazarus, that he wept. See, the Lord knows our sorrows. The Lord knows our distresses. And the Lord will never forget them. You know, even when David got past this time in his life, even all of those years later, whenever David was on the throne and he ruled over all of Israel, even though David was that strong leader, that loved a leader of the people, yet even then David was ruling, but God had never forgotten everything that David had experienced in the past. Even though times were bright in the future, yet the Lord never forgot David's darkest hour. All of it was recorded. All of it was watched over. God had stored up David's tears, counting them as precious, and God stores up your tears. in your times of hardship, in your times of distress, in your times of worry, whether it be for self or for a loved one, and you're crying out literally unto the Lord, God is storing up your tears, and God is sees and is overseeing your heart, and he is recording everything. And God can change everything. God can replace your distress with delight. You think of those words that are found in Isaiah 61. What wonderful words they are of encouragement even to each and every Christian at times of hardship and times of even depression and times of darkness. Because in Isaiah 61 it tells us that he has given his servants to bind up the brokenhearted, to verse 1. It tells us in verse 2 that he's given his servants to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, it tells us that the Lord has given them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes, David was distressed. And even as we mentioned, and this is what we want to finish with this evening, David had distress in his life. But the last part of the psalm, we see that David had also delight. You think of even the words that are coming there at the end of verse 9. He says, this I know, for God is for me. That really just brings then David on to delight in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord. Because the verse 4 and then the verses 10 to 13, it all points to David's delight. You see, David didn't want to be fearful. David didn't want to be distressed. David wanted to be delivered from it so that he could glory and praise in his Lord. He wanted to be able to lift up his voice and to lift up his heart and to rejoice in everything that the Lord is and everything that the Lord had done. David wanted to be able to get up in the morning to look around and to rejoice in the creation that was round about him. He wanted to get up in the morning and rejoice in the salvation that was within him. And you see, that ought to be the case for every Christian. That ought to be the case for each and every child of God, that we want to get away from our distresses. We want to get away from those times of hardship, and we want to get back to the place of delight. When we worship and we glory in our Savior and what he has done for us. But how do we do that? How do we get past the distresses? How do we get past those times of sadness? How do we get past those dark clouds that seem to hang over the Christian? How do we then return to the place of delight? Well, I want you, even in this time, follow the example that we find here with David. Because David does a number of things. First of all, in the verse 4 and also the verse 10, David turns to God's word. He says in the verse 4, in God I will praise his word. He says it again in verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. He finds comfort and encouragement in God's word. Yes, David could have just sat with his head down and sat depressed every day thinking, this is me done. This is what is now my existence. That's it. And I just have to be sad in it. No, David turned to God's word. And David turned to it and he found encouragement in it. Then the verse 4 and the verse 11, not only does he turn to God's word, but we also see that David trusts God's way and God's will. The end of verse 4, he says, In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The verse 11, he repeats it. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David accepts that God's thoughts are not his thoughts. That God's ways are not his ways, but he trusts the Lord completely. Yes, he's in Gath. He's in the enemy territory. Yes, his home nation has turned against him. He can't go home, and he's in danger staying there. But David trusts the Lord completely. And then in the verse 12, we see that David goes on to respect and God's attributes. He says, thy vows are upon me, O God. And I will render praises unto thee. He believes God is holy. And he believes in God's promises. He believes that God is truth. Even as Christ would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. David trusts God's word. He trusts the promises. He remembers, yes, the Lord has anointed me. The Lord had anointed me through Samuel. He has promised, I will be king. Therefore, it will happen. David has promised by the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And David trusts that promise. He can read it in God's word. It was given to Joshua and it's there for him to claim. He trusts everything that the Lord has said and the Lord has promised. But then the verse 13 as well, David rejoices in God's salvation. You look at the ending of the psalm, he says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Yes, he's looked at God's word. Yes, he's accepted God's way. Yes, he's looked at God's attributes. But then finally, he looks at the cross of Christ. He looks to that place afresh where he knows the Lord Jesus Christ would die for his sins. Christ suffered and bled and died to save him. And he thinks of those words, even as he says, thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's thinking of the cross. He's thinking of what his Savior has done for him. He's thinking even of the power of the gospel, the power of salvation that is going to keep him from falling. It's going to keep his feet on that narrow way that leadeth unto glory. O child of God, we have much to delight in. Even in dark days. Even in the darkest days of your life, whenever they may be, and even in the greatest times of hardship, the greatest times of distress, we have much to delight in. Christ is our Savior. He saved us from our sins. He's going to keep us forevermore. And even though there may be those about us that would seek to do harm, and even at this time you think of the hard days in which we live, with all of the disease and all of the panic and the fear that people have in relation to this, but yet we have a Savior we can turn to. We have a Savior that we can trust. We have a God that loves us and who cares for us and will never let anything happen to us outside of his will. Oh, David had the darkest hour to go through. And there are dark times in our lives. We don't begrudge them and we don't deny them. But yet we delight. The Lord is with us. The Lord's never left us. The Lord never will. O child of God, take encouragement tonight. That even in your individual circumstances, even in the hardest times, if no one else knows what is going on in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ does. Turn to him. Even now in your own home, spend time in prayer, just simply lifting your heart unto him, thanking the Lord for who he is, thanking the Lord for what he's done for you. And just rejoice in the salvation that belongeth unto the Lord. May God bless his word to our hearts again this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, even in the darkest times in our lives, that there is that glorious ray of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, though everything may go against us, and though everyone may even seem to be against us. And Lord, even though those times when we are going through a lonely path, yet the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. We thank thee for the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We pray, O God, that I will bless thy word to every heart, that I will encourage thy people, that I will build them up in thy most precious faith. Pray for any that be listening that are outside of Christ. O God, speak to them. Show them, even in these times, that there is a God that can be turned to. There is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save them from their sin and who can keep their feet from falling. O Lord, bless, we pray. Save precious souls in these days. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you once again for joining with us. Do pray that the Lord will continue to bless. Do even at this time, as it's our prayer meeting night, spend time in prayer. Remember the work of the Lord as it continues across the internet. And remember God's people. We think especially of those that are attached to our own church that are involved in the medical services. We do pray for them. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless them and be with them in their work. We do as well think of each family. We do pray for them. We do long even to see them once again. And do remember to pray much in these days that the Lord will keep his gracious hand upon his people. One prayer request just as we finish, on behalf of our prison chaplains. Do pray for the work in the prisons at this time. Unfortunately, due to the outbreak, that we're unable to go and send our chaplains into the prison. But do pray as the word of God goes in, as emails are sent with scripture studies, that they will be a blessing even to the prisoners that are there. And even at this time, though the chaplains may not go in, that the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will go in and save precious souls. Continue to pray. Pray much for our land and pray much that the Lord will bless in these days. God bless each one. Thank you very much.